Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well today. What a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. And we pray all week long that God would use this place as a place of refuge for all that would come through the doors, not only the church members, but for all who come through, whether it be one visitor from many. And I trust that you have sensed the presence of God in this place and that you've already been ministered to. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 22, 2 Kings chapter 22, I believe this is the passage of Scripture that God would have us to look at and receive a message from the Lord through. 2 Kings chapter 22, it's praise the Lord for the Bible, it's God's holy word. And from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation, God has it recorded and preserved it for us to learn from it. And so I trust that we'll be open to receive what God has for us this morning through 2 Kings chapter 22. If you would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah. Whoa, I rehearsed that earlier, amen. The daughter of Adiah, of Boscoth. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it unto the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. It came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asahiah a servant of the king, saying, Go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you now, we do thank you, Lord God, for everything that we've already received this morning. What a blessing it's been just to be in church. But now as we open up your word and we look into this book of 2 Kings, and as Josiah had a heart to serve you, and I pray, God, that you would help us to learn from this passage of Scripture what you would have us to receive today. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Well, as we know, Israel in the Old Testament was God's chosen people. And they had experienced some great, great things in their history with God leading up to this point. We find that as they had went to Egypt through Joseph's leadership, And God protected them and guided them and allowed them to grow into a mighty nation while they were in Egypt. And then out of Egypt, they came through the leadership of Moses. And now God did some miracles and some amazing things to get Pharaoh to let the nation of Israel go as God wanted them to leave Egypt. And then through the Red Sea, as God parted the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground, God watched over them with a cloud during the day to protect them from the sun. He gave a fire by night so that they would be aware of the presence of God the whole time they were going through the wilderness wanderings. And then we find that God gave them manna, very unique food that was come from heaven that God provided for them only during the time that Israel was in the wilderness in between Egypt and the promised land. And the manna never failed the whole time that they were there. He was able to give them water from the rock in the middle of the desert. And of course, and through all the different things that God was able to do for them, and then gave them the promised land through Joshua. Joshua was able to march them into the promised land. We've seen God perform miracles, parting the Jordan River, blowing down the great walls of Jericho. And so they experienced much of the miracles of God and the presence of God. But after the divided kingdom, after Solomon went wayward and brought back a lot of strange wives and introduced a lot of ungodly things to the nation of Israel, we find that after Solomon there was a divided kingdom. The 10 tribes, which were known as a southern kingdom, they were known as Israel, the 10 tribes, and they had no godly kings. And they went, at this time, they already went into captivity. And then the 2 tribes of Judah, had very few of godly kings. But the godly kings that they did have allowed them to stay out of captivity a little bit longer, because as long as they were under the godly leadership and Judah were looking to God, then they had God's blessings upon their lives. Well, Judah had been under the reign of evil kings at this time for about 57 years. And then Josiah, in chapter 22, as he was the son of the previous king that was slain, and the people presented him as king when he was 8 years old, and he was under tutors and the different things. But somehow, even as a young child, God placed within Josiah's heart to turn back to God. And that's exactly what the Bible says in verse 2. It says, and he did that which was right. And not too many of the kings did that. But he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, so he would have been around 26, when he finally made the decision that he wanted to start working on restoring the temple of God, to make sure that Judah would get back to worshiping the God of Israel, the one that had performed all these great miracles for Israel and had proven to be Israel's God. And so he starts working on restoring the temple, the house of the Lord. If you'd study there, as we read verse 3 down to verse 7, but as they were working on restoring the temple, they find something that had been lost for some 57 years. They find the law of Moses. They find the Pentateuch, if you will, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. That would have been the law. That was what they would have had at this particular time to know the will of God for their lives. And so if you would, it'd be like us rediscovering the Bible. And so they find the words of God. Verse 8. Josiah, verse 11, realizes how far Judah had drifted away from God. More than likely, in his 26 years, this was the first time he had actually heard the words of God, to realize that they were written down, preserved for them. And so we find in verse 11, the Bible says, when he heard that he rent his clothes. He came under such conviction over the land and how they were living their lives that he rent his clothes as a sign of repentance. And then we find in verse 13, he gets all those spiritual heaters together, and he says, go ask of God what can be done at this time. Verse 13, go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah. He says, not only for me as a king, but for the people and the families of Judah and for the nation of Judah. He says, and concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. In verse 15 to 20, we find that he realizes, as they went and inquired of the Lord, that God told them that it was too late for Judah. They would follow Israel into captivity, and they would be in the 70 years of captivity. Verse 17, it says, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the words of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. They would go into captivity. It was somewhat too late for Judah. But God said that he would bless Josiah's reign. Verse 20, behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace. For the rest of your reign, Josiah, because you have chosen to lead Judah to seek my face and to seek my will, and your heart is right before God, he says, I will allow you to live in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And so what a great story we find here in the 2 Kings concerning this godly king now, Josiah, and his desire to take the people back to the Lord before the Judah would be taken into captivity. The message I want to preach to you this morning, I believe that it's one that will help us in the day and age that we live in as well, was how was God's word lost? I mean, they understand. They were the children of God, and they look back into their history, and they was able to see how God had done all these miraculous things. And under Moses was able to pen the Pentateuch, the laws, and they had the Ten Commandments, and they had the laws of God written down by the very finger of God, that they would have that to be reminded of God's expectations of his chosen people Israel. How was it lost? Judah had drifted too far to even be brought back as a nation. They had already passed the point of no return. When Josiah compared how Judah was living to the word of God and to where Judah should have been according to the will of God, the Bible says he rent his clothes, realizing how far they had drifted concerning the ways and the will of God. He understood God's wrath and why that they had been under siege of all the different armies and the rest of the world coming down upon them. He understood that. In verse 13, he says that. He says, for God, go inquire the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us. He said, it's been kindled against us, and now I understand why. Because our fathers have not hearkened to the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. When I read that, and was no doubt knowing that this was what God would have me to preach today, I was thinking about America. And I was thinking about the people that live in America today. I'm taken back when I realize that so many today have no idea that certain lifestyles are biblically wrong. When you talk to people going door-to-door soul winning, or you sit down with somebody even that's been in church, and it surprises me of their lack of knowledge of God's will concerning many things, concerning marriage, God's plan, one man for one woman for life. What the Bible teaches is God's perfect will. Concerning fornication, we're living in a society now that is green light to whatever kind of sexual relationships that you want to have at just about any age. I'm thinking that they lost sight of God's plan as the holiness of the body and the holiness of the relationship that God had designed for marriage. And there should be abstinence until marriage, which is somewhat laughed at today, thinking that you can keep teenagers and young people away from this kind of relationship. We live in a society that they, for the most part, they see no need for church attendance. You know, on Sunday, you get ready to go to church and you see everybody else out doing yard work and doing this and that. Our neighbor riding by on our bike saying they're going to go to the Reds game today. And I'm thinking, this is Sunday. Not seeing anything wrong with drinking of alcohol, gambling, immodesty. Don't see anything wrong with curse, the language that people are using today, and what's even accepted on public television today, using the Lord's name in vain, is something that is very much accepted in even in primetime television. The children are listening and watching, and they hear the Lord's name being taken in vain. That people don't see anything wrong with that. The ungodly associations that we get involved in. Can I tell you, as we look here, as Josiah, now that he reads the Word of God and he understands where Judah should have been and where they are, and he just rents his clothes and he says, I can't believe, how did we drift so far away from God's will for our lives? And he finds out it's too late for Judah, that they would be taken into captivity. And maybe, I don't know if it's too late for America or not. I know that we should never give up on our great nation. And I believe that we ought to be doing everything we can to help those in positions as well to start making, correcting some laws that should have never been passed and possibly get back to making America what God wants it to be, what it was established to be by our forefathers. Amen? And I think we ought to do everything we can, but I don't know if it's too late for America or not, but I know it's not too late for churches. I know it's not too late for families. And I know it's not too late even for individuals to get back to where God wants you to be. Have we drifted? They say, basically, if you've ever been closer to God than what you are today, then you are in a backslidden condition. Can you think of the time in your life when you were the closest to God? Can you think of the time in your life, maybe your family, when you were closest to God? And even as a church, when we had the power of God, can we think of the time when we felt like that we had more of the blessings and the power of God upon our lives? And then we look at where we're at today. Have we drifted? That's what I want you to look at this morning is, have we drifted? How did we drift? How do we get to where we're at? How do we get to where we're at as a nation? How do we get to where we're at as a family, as an individual, as a church sometimes, looking around? How was God's words lost? And we find it right here. It presents it to us. See, I'm going to give you three thoughts on how we lose sight of God's word so that we might regain it. We might get back to where we need to be, where God wants us to be. First of all, we find that it's lost when preachers stop preaching it. Amen. Because here we find in verse 8, and Hilkiah, the high priest, the high priest was given charge of the temple. He was given charge of maintaining the word of God. The high priest was to take the position that he had to make sure that the kings would hear the words of God, and that the right kind of worship was taking place in the temple. It was the high priest's responsibility to keep the word of God and to make sure that the people of the nation, especially the kings and those in positions, would understand what was God's will for their lives, what was God's will for their families, and what was God's will for their nation. So here we find the high priest, because they're remodeling the house of God. They've allowed it to somewhat go down, and they needed those. Josiah said, wait a minute, this is the house of God. We had better make sure that it is all that it can be. And so he puts people in there. He sends money, and he says, let's rebuild it. Let's make sure that we strengthen it, make sure that it's as nice as it can be. And in rebuilding and bringing all this back up to where it should be, the high priest finds the word of God. Been 57 years. I don't know how long he was a high priest, but can I tell you that he never sought after the word of God? I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord, and Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So we find here, first of all, Hilkiah should have been ashamed that he failed to keep the words of God before the people. And then we look at Shaphan, who was a scribe. He was the one that was supposed to give any insight into the word of God. If there was a question as far as the legitimacy of what it was saying, it was the scribes who were to dedicate their lives to understanding the interpretation of the words of God. And he gave it to Shaphan. The scribe came to the king. He should have been ashamed. How in the world do you lose sight of what thus saith the Lord after God had done so many miraculous things and God had given them, written by the very fingers of God, the commandments of God for his chosen people Israel? You see, no matter if people come to hear or not, preachers must keep preaching God's word. Somehow, we've got this idea that, well, in order to build a church, in order to grow a congregation, you can't preach just the word of God. You got to have some other things going on in the church. People won't come just to hear the preaching of the word of God. We've got to have other types of entertainment, and we've got to have other types of some, whatever it might be, in order to grow a crowd. Listen to me. That's not what God designed the church to do. God did not design the church to entertain the people. God designed the church as a place for people to come to sense the presence of God and to worship God and to hear the very messages of God. And preachers have stopped preaching the very words of God. Listen to me, I didn't know who was going to be here or not. Brother Buddy up on the platform said, you know, it's hard to say on holiday weekends who's going to come and who's not going to come. Who's going to be in church? Who's going to be in town? Who's going to be out of town? But he said, I don't even think about that when it comes to preparing messages. I think about, God, what do you want preached today? What passage of your word? What direction are you going to give me? How am I, as a preacher of the gospel, what is it that you would have me to present, no matter who comes? I'm going to preach the messages every service that God has given to me that is found in the scriptures. And I don't... You think, well, you only preach that because I come. No, I was going to be preached whether you come or not. Somebody told you I was coming, so you developed that. Just how vain can you be? Amen. No, I'm going to preach the very words of God no matter who comes. I don't think about who's going to come or not. I believe it's God. It's up to God to direct the people into the services. Every time we assemble ourselves together, it is a worship service, and the Spirit of God works on the hearts of people. He pricks their hearts, and he leads them to be where that God wants them to be so they can receive the messages that God has for them. But if I fail to preach, you're going to leave without hearing the message that God had for you. I think we have lost sight of God's word in our churches today. We're more interested on growing a crowd. And you find it happening all around. Every state I go into, every city I go into, you'll find the mega churches. They're all designed after the very same thing, entertainment. You can go there and you can go as you are and you can leave as you were. You'll never be convicted because they're never going to preach on sin. They're not going to preach on doctrine because it would be divisive. It would split the church if they actually preached on doctrines. If you don't preach on doctrines, you can't have absolutes. The only way that we can absolutely know that this is right and absolutely know that this is wrong is by preaching on the very words of God. It's not right or wrong because of your philosophy. It's not right or wrong because of the denomination that you claim to be, the religious group that you're following after. It is right or wrong based upon the very words of this book right here. And when we lose sight of the importance of preaching this word, you'll find that the doctrines go out the windows. Or you know it, people lose sight. Because all they're hearing is philosophies. And they're not hearing the doctrines. So it's lost when preachers stop preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Everybody following with me this morning, right? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Those that never get saved and that turn away from it, it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. If you're saved and you know God's design for this New Testament church age, you're saying, I want the preaching of God's word. I want the word of God in my heart. I want the word of God in my mind. I want to hear it just the way that God has given it to us. It's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The wisdom of the world says you can't build a church on preaching. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's where it's going. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So it's going to keep you aware of God. What's going to keep you back doing what God would have you to do, being aware of how God would have you to live, how God would have you to establish your home, how God would have you to establish your lifestyle. Listen to me. It's going to help you, and it's going to come your way by hearing the preaching of the word. That's what he says. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But to them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. There's no doubt about it. If you study the Bible, if you study what Jesus Christ established in the New Testament church and for this entire New Testament church age, it is going to be through the preaching of the word. The souls will be saved and people will respond to the will of God. You get away from that, you're going to start drifting. The more you get away from that, the farther you will drift. The second thing, how was God's word lost? It's lost when it's not being hearkened unto. Go back with me, chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 13. He says, go inquire the Lord for me and for all the people and for all Judah, for the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. When you hear a truth from God's word, we must determine to apply it to our lives. If you just come and hear the sermon and then leave without ever thinking about why God wanted you to hear that, God wants you to know His will for your life. It is God that has planted every member of this church in this church. It is God that has opened the door for everyone who comes through these doors to come through these doors. As a pastor, I believe I'll give an account for how I respond to everyone that comes through this door, whether it be a member or whether it be a visitor, whoever it might be, because God sent them here. And I'm responsible as the pastor of the church to make sure that I have God's message for the people. Now, I don't have to develop that message. All I have to do is preach the word. Amen. And preach it in a way that you can understand it. And I want to be able to preach it in a way that you can understand it, because if you don't understand it, you can't apply it. And so I want you to hearken unto that which is preached, so that you might determine how it can be applied to your life. You might be able to break it down to a practical application. That is my ministry. That has always been what God has given to me. I am not going to wow anybody with my vocabulary. I'm not going to wow anybody with the depth of my messages. All I am is a practical preacher. I want to be able to take what God has given to us, break it down, and present it to you in a practical way that you might be able to receive it and say, I can understand that. And understanding that is the first step to be able to say, now I've got to see how it applies to my life. Amen. That's the one thing that I cannot do. I cannot apply it to your life. I can just preach the truths in a practical way to help you to understand it. But it's only you and God that knows how He wants you to apply it to your life. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. The book of James and chapter, well, I love the book of James. Helps us to understand the idea of taking the word of God and making it practical and living it. In this James chapter 4, no, James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Praise the Lord for everyone that comes out to hear the word of God, because you can't apply it unless you hear it. But don't stop at just hearing it. Don't pat yourself on the back and say, well, that was enough. I was in church today. No, that's just hearing it. God wants you to hear it, once you have heard it, to make it applicable. But be a doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you think that all you have to do is hear it, you've deceived your own self. It's not helping you unless you learn to apply it. In verse 24, it says this, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. You're losing sight of the blessing of God if you're not applying it to your life. When you hear it and you understand it and you make a clear, conscious decision now to make an application, you will find that as you apply it to your life, it is a help to you. It is a blessing to you. Amen. Practical application. When you leave a worship service, when you leave hearing the word of God, you ought to know how God would have you to apply it. And then be determined when you leave to make it a part of your life. Somehow or another, they had lost sight of hearkening unto the words when they were being preached. And when you're not hearkening into it, when you're not applying it, before you know it, you'll not see the need to continue to receive it. Because it's not helping you. It's not helping me to be in church. No, if all you're doing is hearing it. If you go back and live the very same lifestyle, if you go back and continue doing the very same things, it's not helping. It only helps when you hear it and you apply it. And by applying it, it changes your life. If you're not going to allow it to change your life, it's not going to help you like God wants it to help you. And you'll lose it. You'll lose it. Lastly, this morning, it's lost when we allow something else to replace it. When we allow something else to take its place. Verse 17. Because they have forsaken me and have burnt incense unto other gods. Now what they do? They stopped burning incense unto God. They were supposed to keep the fire burning in the temple to God. But in the temple, instead of having the fire burning unto the Lord, they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods. Let me ask you the question this morning. What has Satan used to steal away your love and devotion to God? What's taken the place? In chapter 23, verse 4 down to verse 24, I want you to read that as you go home this morning, because it's things that Josiah tried to make right. It's what he saw in the nation of Judah and what he tried to make right in order to have the blessings of God as long as they could continue to have the blessings of God. In verse 4, the Bible says this, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, the ones that had lost sight of the Bible, the word of God, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. So the vessels, they had actually put vessels in the temple, in the house of the Lord, that were for Baal worship. When you're taking the house of God and the things that God has in your life, and you start looking to other gods, small letter G gods, and put them in the place of your worship of God, you'll lose sight eventually. Because it's starting to replace the presence of God in your life. What kind of gods have we brought into our lives? Some people make gods out of sports. Some people make gods out of recreation. Some people make gods out of finances. Just got to have this in order to have that. I've got to work all 7 days. Just don't have time for the Lord. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. Because I've focused my attention on other things. Josiah says, take those vessels that were put in there to worship Baal out of the house of the Lord. Burn them. Place the ashes back at Bethel, where you met God. Verse 5, and he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the hosts of heaven. My goodness. That actually replaced the priests that were supposed to help the people to know the will and the word of God. And they replaced them with priests who were burning incense unto Baal and to the sun and to the moon and to the planets in the house of God. They lost sight. They lost God's word when they allowed other things to take its place. verse 7. And he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Unnatural and ungodly relationships. They become a part of the society of Judah. One of the reasons Josiah rent his clothes, he saw not only the unnatural, but the ungodly relationships that people were having, and realized it's far from where God wants us to be. Verse 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, all of those things did Josiah put away that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Listen to me as I'm closing here this morning. He put away anything that was in opposition to the words of God. Because listen to me, we cannot lose sight of the words of God. When you lose sight of the word of God, you lose sight of God. How far have you drifted? I remember, it's been several years back now, and it's when I had a little bass boat and used to go out to Geist Reservoir just as recreation and just to get away. And I remember one day, one of the Tuesday or whatever day it was, but it was a warm day. And I was out there, and fish were not biting. It was in the middle of the day, but I wanted to stay out there to do my evening fishing because, you know, that's when the fish bite the best, is in the morning and then the evening. And so I was out there and just killing the day, just relaxing. And I thought, well, I'm just going to take a little nap. Son, I thought, you know, the fish aren't biting. I'm just going to rest and be ready for the evening fish. And I took the boat out, and down at the one end of Geist where the water's the deepest there. And I just shut the motor down, and I thought, yeah, I'll be all right here in the middle. And I just shut everything down and just started drifting. And just, you know, when you're on the water like that, the boat just kind of rocks you to sleep, you know. And I went to sleep, unknowing that the boat just kept drifting. And anybody who knows Geist knows on the one end there's a dam. And there's nothing there, but there's warning saying the dam, and they have different warning stakes out there telling you that you're getting close. But I was asleep, and the boat was just drifting. I thought that I was going to be in good shape because I put it in the middle of the lake, and the lake is a pretty good-sized lake. I didn't thought nothing. It'll just stay right here, and I'll just wake up, and then I'll go over, and I'll start fishing again. But when I went to sleep, and I didn't, the current just continue to have that boat just drifting. It's only by the hand of God that I heard the falls. It was loud enough to wake me up. And I woke up and somewhat started to look around, and I was about 10 feet from going over the dam. I mean, it was the water was high, and the water was rushing over, and I never knew it. I woke up and I tried to get my bearings and realize where I'm at. And then I had to try to get the engine started in order to get away from that. Then I was panicking because I'm getting ready to go over this and my life is going to be ended right here. I was able to get the engine started enough time to get away from the dam. Drifted. Didn't realize the danger of where I was drifting to. Judah would be taken into captivity because they went past the point of no return. Don't continue to drift, because in drifting, you're losing sight of the will of God for your life. it will not only impact your life, it will impact your family, it will impact your church, and ultimately, it will impact our nation. Oh, how we need to hold on to the words of God. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Where are you at this morning? Have you ever been closer to God than where you're at this morning? If you have been, then you've drifted. You've drifted. Personally, in your family, as a church, oh, how we need to wake up. How we need to turn our hearts back to God. How we need to, when we realize it, rent off our clothes and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to get back to where you want me to be. Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you, Father, for the passage of scripture that we've read here today and studied the life of Josiah. And I pray, God, that you'd help us likewise as we see the conditions of our nation, the conditions of our churches and our families and even our individual selves. Help us to see the need of getting back to where you'd have us to be. Lord God, work in our midst today. If there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, help them, Lord, right now. Prick their heart. Help them to see their need to be saved. Work in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray.